French Revolution Through Visual Sources by Catherine Asterbury. Lecture 2. The Estates General. The meeting of the Estates General opened in May 1789 for the first time since 1614. Every parish sent two representatives to regional meetings bearing its cahier de doléances. At these meetings, representatives of the Third Estate were selected and the cahier amalgamated. No peasants or working-class members were ultimately selected to represent the Third Estate at Versailles. The representatives consisted mainly of lawyers and administrators. The Third Estate was much more conscious of its position than the last time the Estates General had met, and they were unified in their belief that representatives should vote by head rather than by order. Indeed, despite the number of Third Estate representatives being doubled, the system meant that 4% of the nation could always outvote 96%. The old version of the Estates General no longer coincided with the greater class consciousness of the Third Estate. This issue created a stalemate, with the Third Estate refusing to even verify that its deputies had been duly mandated to carry out their constituents' cahiers, unless all three orders met together. About half the clergy and a quarter of the nobility were sympathetic to a vote by head, and this perhaps gave encouragement to the Third Estate to take things further. The Third Estate declared themselves a National Assembly on the 17th of June 1789. Their intention was never to alienate the other orders or abolish orders altogether. Instead, they issued an invitation to the nobility and clergy to join them. On the 20th of June, they found the Assembly Hall locked. It had been an oversight, but the Third Estate took it as a sign that a royal coup was imminent. They met in a real tennis court instead, and swore not to disperse until a new constitution had been established. Following this, many of the clergy and nobility joined the assembly. The three orders were finally officially united under the same banner of the National Assembly on the 27th of June, when Louis XVI backed down from his initial position and ordered the remainder of the clergy and nobility to join the Third Estate. Meanwhile, riots and rebellions had broken out throughout France, largely due to food shortages. Troops were called up to Paris, which only inflamed tensions. This eventually led to the fall of the Bastille, the state prison, on the 14th of July. In reaction to this, rumours spread across France that nobles and brigands were out to destroy crops and kill those wanting to reform the country. This led to what is known as la Grande Peur, the Great Fear, across France that summer. Meanwhile, back in the National Assembly at Versailles, deputies set about devising a constitution, a process that would eventually take them until September 1791. In the interim, though, there were some important developments. During the night of August 4, 1789, a meeting addressing the issue of poverty took place. The results were unforeseen. Deputies from the nobility and the clergy voluntarily and enthusiastically renounced their privileges. This was an important night, though it represented only a partial abolition of feudal rights, because while individuals were freed, their land was not. Following on from this, the Declaration of the Rights of Man was passed on the 26th of August. It was written to prevent a return to the previous system while the Constitution was being devised, but also to prevent popular rebellion. Louis XVI was opposed to the nobles and clergy losing their benefits, and he didn't like to be kept separate from the legislative process, so he refused to sign the decrees of the National Assembly. He called up his Flanders regiment to protect himself, and a feast provided in the regiment's honour caused outrage in a starving Paris. As a result, on the 5th of October 1789, the women of Paris went to Versailles to bring the king back to the capital. Louis sanctioned the rights of man on the 6th of October and would never return to Versailles again.